It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm David Green. If you thought the two political parties had moved past their differences over the debt ceiling, think again.
Let's recall, who could forget, Congress boosted the Treasury's borrowing authority by $2 trillion after a dramatic showdown last summer that also led to the first downgrade ever of the nation's credit rating. But yesterday, the Obama administration said that borrowing authority is set to max out by the end of the year.
And that prompted House Speaker John Boehner to insist that any increase in the debt limit will have to be matched by even greater cuts in spending. Here's NPR's David Wilner.
Sometimes it takes a Washington summit to tease out what's coming down the political pike. That's just what happened yesterday in the big auditorium a few blocks from the White House, where administration officials and lawmakers came together for the third annual Peter G. Peterson Foundation Fiscal Summit. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner arrived with a warning. The United States, he said, will likely hit its debt limit sometime before the end of the year.
Only Congress, of course, can act to raise a debt limit. And, you know, we hope they do it this time without the drama and the pain and the damage they caused the country last July.
Inflicting such pain and damage, Geithner pointedly noted, would not be responsible. House Speaker John Boehner responded a few hours later.
Yes, allowing America to default on its debt would be irresponsible. But it would be more irresponsible to raise the debt ceiling without taking dramatic steps to reduce spending and reform the budget process.
Boehner vowed he'll approach raising the debt ceiling next time the same way he did last year.
When the time comes, I will again insist on my simple principle of cuts and reforms greater than the debt limit increase.
In the Senate, where the last debt ceiling crisis was finally resolved, Republicans did not exactly rush to embrace Boehner's hardline stance. But number two Republican John Kyle did give Boehner a limited endorsement.
I'd really prefer not to comment on that until I have a chance to visit with him more about it, but it seemed very sensible to me.
It did not seem sensible, though, to Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid.
Republicans can grandstand all they want. The fact is, any agreement to avoid the fiscal cliff facing us at the end of this year must not gut programs that support the middle class.
At the fiscal summit, Congressman Chris Van Hollen, the top Democrat on the House Budget Committee, took Boehner to task.
It is absolutely reckless to threaten that the United States will not pay its bills. It is reckless to do that. That is not fiscal discipline. That is fiscal irresponsibility. We should be coming together to try and find a way out, not drawing lines in the sand.
Asked about Van Hollen's characterization, Boehner did not disagree.
It is a line in the sand because Washington has kicked the can down the road, kicked the can down the road, kicked the can down the road, and the American people think we're crazy. They're ready for Washington to take action.
But any action on the debt limit likely won't come until after the November election, and possibly not even until early next year. David Wellner, NPR News, the Capitol.
Uncertainty in Greece tends to get investors thinking nervously about other weak European economies, like, say, Portugal, which we'll discuss next. Today is the first anniversary of the more than $100 billion bailout that Portugal received from the European Union and International Monetary Fund. Portugal, of course, also faces austerity measures. Lauren Freire reports on the results 1 year later.
In Portugal, austerity has meant up to a 30% pay cut for civil servants like doctors and teachers, higher fees for medical care, and labor reforms that let companies fire workers more easily. The government just cut four public holidays from the calendar to save money. The Fitch Ratings Agency says Portugal's made a promising start at fixing its economy, and there's little sign of any anti-austerity revolt, says economist Pedro Pita Baroche at Lisbon's Nova School of Business.
There are a few voices from the leftist parties mainly claiming that we should revise things, but no real alternative. Most people don't feel like they want the same road that Greece is going.
But Portugal may be at the mercy of Greece and the market's reaction to uncertainty there. An editorial in Portugal's main business daily says shockwaves from a possible Greek exit from the euro could hit Portugal violently. And if that happens, Portugal could need more help to stay afloat, says another economist, Pedro Lanes, at the University of Lisbon.
Probability is above 50% now. So we're much closer to a second bailout now than we were 6 months ago.
Portuguese leaders deny that, but unemployment is more than 15%, and the economy continues to shrink. Portugal didn't have a housing boom and bust, but it's always had relatively low productivity. Now its industries are struggling against a flood of Asian imports. The Portuguese people are paying higher taxes and have reduced consumption. They're willing to sacrifice. But the EU recently warned they may now have to do even more. For NPR News, I'm Lauren Freyer.
Greece will hold new elections next month after leaders failed to form a government. A vote held just 10 days ago resulted in a hung parliament split between supporters and opponents of the international bailout loans keeping Greece afloat. As Joanna Kakissis reports from Athens, the political uncertainty has raised fears that the heavily indebted country will be forced to exit the eurozone.
Politicians are divided over how to handle the EU-imposed austerity measures that come with the bailout loans. Greeks revile the wage and pension cuts and tax hikes that have sharply lowered their incomes and worsened the recession, now in its fifth year. A leftist party called Syriza tapped into that anger and is now leading in public opinion polls. The party's brash young leader, Alexis Tsipras, says he wants to cancel the bailout agreement. This bailout was rejected by voters, he said, so no government has the right to keep forcing it on them. More than half of Greeks voted against pro-bailout parties on May 6th. But public opinion polls also show that more than 60% of Greeks want a coalition government to safeguard the country from default. That's not going to happen if Greece stays deadlocked, says Evangelos Venizelos, leader of the socialist PASOK party. What's going to change with new elections, he said? Absolutely nothing. The political limbo is clearly scaring people. Citing data from the Greek central bank, President Carlos Papoulias told political leaders earlier this week that people withdrew nearly $900 million from local banks on Monday. If the fear holds, it will further erode the country's stability, says economist Manos Matsaganis.
Those who pay for the country to remain solvent will wait until the situation is clear, and that will create lots of problems. On the other hand, investors will also wait, will turn away from a country that is so unstable.
If momentum builds to actually renege on the bailout terms, Greece could go into a messy default and run out of cash, says Megan Green of Rubini Global Economics in London.
And Greece has a primary deficit right now, so that means that if Greece were to default, it wouldn't be able to pay any of its civil servants or its public sector. And so I think then it would have to leave the eurozone in order to print drachma to pay people.
Spooked investors and European politicians are now talking openly about a Greek eurozone exit. There's even a word for it, the Grexit. The EU is petrified of a possible Grexit right now because it doesn't have the money to bail out other struggling eurozone countries.
If Greece were to have a disorderly default and exit, Spain would need a bailout, you know, the next day, and the money's not there.
And a Greek exit would further erode trust in the eurozone, says Euclid Tsakalotos. He's an economist with Syriza, the big anti-bailout party in Greece.
Once you've thrown out one country, the pressure will then turn immediately to the second country, Spain, Italy, Portugal. I don't know which it will be. It's rather like adultery. Yes, if you've done it once, the suspicion is you'll do it again.
Finding a way to keep Greece solvent, with or without bailouts, will fall to whomever Greeks vote in next month. Elections will likely take place on June 17th. Until then, a caretaker government will take charge. Greek news media report this government will likely be led by Judge Panayotis Pikramenos, whose last name means embittered. For NPR News, I'm Joanna Kakissis in Athens.
As for the broader economic outlook, we have news from the Federal Reserve. Yesterday, the Fed unsealed the minutes from its latest open market committee meeting. NPR's Chris Arnold reports on what was said.
In these meetings, Federal Reserve officials talk about their predictions for where the economy is headed next, and so analysts scour the minutes as soon as they're released. This time around, Fed officials appear to have plenty of concerns, but they still think that the economy is recovering.
The economy is growing at a moderate pace.
That's Paul Edelstein, an economist with IHS Global Insight.
That this moderate pace will continue and probably pick up down the road. Jobs will be created and the unemployment rate will come down.
With Europe in rough shape, Fed officials did say that that posed a, quote, significant downside risk to economic activity. They're also uneasy about what's called the fiscal cliff. That's the deadline coming up at the end of this year for Congress to deal with expiring tax cuts and make some major budget decisions.
The Bush tax cuts, the temporary payroll tax cuts, extended unemployment benefits, and to solve the debt ceiling crisis from last summer, about $1.2 trillion in spending cuts are also supposed to take effect.
The political battle over all that could definitely have an impact on the economy. Chris Arnold, NPR News.